Hey Cheryl, hey Marge.
Hey Cheryl,
and all you out there in Radio Land.
The millions out of you.
Cheryl, about the weekend, it looked like a phenomenal retreat. The parts that I caught were spectacular. So thank you so much for including me in that retreat. It was really, really awesome. So we are here for Growing with NTI, and let's have a prayer first. And I realized just a moment ago that I always make Connie pray, let Connie pray, or something like that. So I can do that tonight. So let's just take a second here. Yeah, and what I want to do is just express our gratitude. That we are able to teach what we would learn. And I really don't want to ask for anything except that that I'm able to get myself out of the way so that whatever there is to be heard can be heard by me and that I can and that I can let that pass through me in a way that's most helpful to those who are listening. And I know Connie joins me in that prayer. So, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Cheryl, it was great. I really, Cheryl said she kept hearing I was to be at that weekend of freedom retreat, and I was thrilled that I was. I was really, really, particularly taken with Regina's talk and John Mark Stroud. Those guys are near and dear to my heart, so it's not a surprise that but they both really rocked me. So thank you. Okay, so Connie tells me, and I trust my sister.
She says with one L, I'll higher than the other.
Connie tells me we are on page 234 of NTI, and beginning, that's the middle of Acts chapter 10, or near the end of it. So it's Acts chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, sentence 17 is where we're beginning. That's the middle of page 234. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy, the welcome. Now we have an audience.
Yay! Hey, well, it's Marge and Cheryl are here.
I mean, a big audience.
Oh, three.
Three. And three are joined to my name.
That's right. Kathy, we're in the middle of page 234, NTI Acts chapter 10. So, beginning with sentence 17. In the beginning, which has no beginning at all, there was God. And God is all there is today. But the existence of God sought a freedom that was different freedom it had known. Of course, what freedom could be different from freedom? When freedom is free, as your freedom is, nothing can be different except the illusion of not being free. And that sounds really familiar. I still trust Connie. I think it's a great place to start because that's what we that's where we ended up last week. We were talking about this being the tiny mad idea and that I think I told my little story and we're all sitting around izzing, right? And we went, hey, let's do something different. What if everything was not the way that it is? And then, of course, the result of that is this world that we experience. And that's why, and Connie and I were talking over dinner about how the body and the world and everything in it is designed to demonstrate this supposed separateness that we wanted to experience, right? Because the way everything is one, inseparable, constantly extending, constantly in celebration of everything that is, and we wanted to experience something different. Why? I have no idea.
And you wanted to experience something less than perfection.
Right.
Because, I mean, perfection is all that was.
Right.
So if you're going to experience anything else, it would have to be less than perfection. And here's
Right.
what you got.
Well, and in fact, folks often talk about, the that what we experience is 180 degrees different from the truth, you know, diametrically opposed to the truth. And so the way we're oriented is to come from this separate perspective, to see everything from that perspective, and to attempt to protect this separate existence and this separate perspective, right? And so that's just how we're oriented, and that's why it seems so foreign to most of us for most of our lives to attempt to join, to attempt to let those barriers down, to attempt to set our self-interest aside. That's why all that seems so foreign, right? Because it's totally set up to support this idea of separateness. We're set up that way. Our thought process is that way. Our orientation is that way. So what we're being asked to do is lay that thought system aside and adopt something that's wholly foreign to what we knew for most of our lives.
Yeah, and what's so sweet in the reading that we're doing tonight for Regina's class, it talks about how this is difficult for you, because this is seemingly what you know, but it says all you got to do is be willing to see something other than the body and the world as you think it is.
Right. And the willingness is the opening that allows that to occur. Yeah. So, sentence 22 here says, opposites were made from a state of freedom, so freedom may be expressed because it is free. This is the expression of you. You are an expression of freedom. And the brothers you experience are an expression of freedom, too.
I just don't like their choices.
Connie didn't get to the second part of the reading. what was the second part of that for tonight's class? The Christ vision or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm joking. She did her homework.
The Savior's vision.
Savior's vision, right. And which, of course, that's what it's talking about, too. The brothers you experience are an expression of freedom, too. Since freedom is all that was given you, freedom is all that you are. But that expression has been used to make something different from that which it is. And so, the expression of freedom made lack of freedom. And this is also the expression that you are. You seem to be the lack of freedom when freedom is what you are. So the lack that you experience is an expression of the freedom that you are. That's really cool, right? You're so free, you have the freedom to believe that you're not.
Right.
To express yourself as less than freedom. But all of this you have forgotten, for you chose to forget it when you chose an experience different than the experience you know. You know, that would have to be part of it, right? I mean, it wouldn't be an authentic experience, you know, if you just crossed your fingers and knew that you could change it at any time, right?
Just kidding.
So the forgetting was part of that journey into something different.
Because so you could truly have the experience, you forgot.
Right.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the memory of the experience you know, which is the truth of your freedom and the truth of you now. In your true desire to be only, this truth has been accepted. So the purpose of freedom, which is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is the only purpose now. So, you know, we made that choice for an instant in eternity, and of course, you know, time doesn't really, that whole idea doesn't translate either, right? But we made the choice, but it couldn't be forgotten, you know, the truth of who we are, and the Holy Spirit, according to, well, both the Course in Miracles and to this, Holy Spirit is the memory of, you know, the part of us that didn't forget, the part of the knows that we're just playing this game.
Right.
And it's also, of course, making the point here, And now it's time to come home. And that's really the only purpose now. So you had your fun, come home, right?
Right.
And that's what it's saying there, I think.
Yeah, the ancient song. Somebody's retching outside.
That's really funny. Okay, well, I mean, for me, maybe not for them. Okay, so here we go. We're at the top of page 235. Hey, Debbie. Welcome.
Hey, Debbie.
Within you is true purpose. Within you is the Holy Spirit. But to remember the true purpose that you chose to forget, you must follow your purpose back to where you are. This is the path of joining by letting go of false purposes founded in the search for falseness and returning to true purpose, which is the only purpose now.
This is the path of joining.
Yeah, it is the path of joining, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, for those of you who have told, that was my experience at this recent retreat. I had a real experience. I think we talked about it last week. But for me, the threshold to that experience was making, having a real willingness to join with this other person that was in this self-inquiry dyad.
Somebody you didn't. The first guy that perspective, you didn't want to at all.
Yeah, I didn't. Yes, and just that willingness was enough to and practiced again and again and again with these different participants. It just, you know, the revelation just grew deeper and deeper and deeper through that joining. So it's an amazing thing. Yeah.
And you'd have to know that that's what this is all about. I mean. From the very beginning that we started learning this stuff, it's, you know, it's letting go of the separation. Oneness is all there is. On and on and on. So this joining that they're talking about is a joining on any level that you can get it. Yeah. It's not seeing your interests shine. It's seeing something do, however incident, as something I wouldn't do. It's doing it on the practical stage till it becomes the essence of who you are and takes you out of this world.
Yeah. Exactly. This brings us back to the story of your willingness. Since in truth you are the expression of pure freedom, nothing can be given you unless you are wholly willing to accept it. For if that were not true, you would not be free. So, continue the nursing of your willingness, that you may ask for in your freedom that which you truly desire, which is to remember the reality of the truth that you are free. And so, you know, we as Course students, you know, we hear these phrases in the Course that, you know, that talk about, well, if you really wanted this, you can have it, but apparently you don't. It's like, yes, I do. Tell me I don't want it. But, you know, but it really is, you know, we haven't unwound ourselves yet from that desire to know something different. And there's no shame in that. There's no harm in that. But yeah, you know, it really is the willingness to, as Connie was saying, practice this, you know, every opportunity until you begin to remember that it is all about your freedom. It's your freedom to, choose to be in the thought system of separation, or to remember the truth of who you are and be in the thought system of wholeness, of freedom, of allowance, of acceptance, of celebration, and that sort of thing. So, but it really is all you. And we did a sermon on that a couple weeks ago. Yeah, it really is all you. And, you know, it just takes a while for us to begin to get that, you know, 20, 30 years. Some of us.
Some of us long.
Yeah.
I think this is an appropriate place to mention it in that the course also says love is, or maybe this says love is freedom. Freedom is love. So the which, if you think about it, I mean, you could really grasp that concept as well. That as close as I can come to really knowing my love for you, I would have to grant you the freedom to be and do and say and whatever it is that you want to be, do, and say without my condemnation. How better could I express my love than allowing that?
Yeah.
That freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. The story of the world is the story of the expression of freedom. Within this story, one must also see the willingness that the expression know itself as free. And so freedom is available to you, because freedom is all there really is. Accept this truth and join with the Holy Spirit within you. He will guide you back through your willingness to the remembrance of the freedom that is you. Yeah, I mean, it was our decision to forget. So it's got to be our decision to remember. And that's the willingness. Okay, NTI Acts chapter 11, page 235. The words of the Holy Spirit are final. They are the authority within the world. They are the only authority in a world that seems absent of authority. And so it is this authority that is given. The authority of the Holy Spirit is not a coercive authority, for no authority can be coerced upon the Son of God. The authority of the Holy Spirit is a welcome authority brought about within awareness, upon invitation, and with willingness. The one who knows his own authority knows himself, and he welcomes it. The one who does not know his own authority makes one for himself and is confused by it. And so it is, the words of the Holy Spirit are final. They are the words of true authority and true welcome. When they are recognized, they are welcomed, and all illusory authority must give way. You know, again, you know, the truth of who we are is unquestionable, unassailable. A Course in Miracles talks about how we make an image of ourselves, an ego for ourselves, and one for everybody else. You know, ego is always attempting to define who it is because it doesn't know, right? Because it is the confused thoughts about who it is. So it makes all these attempts to define itself. Then it's got this thought system, this regime that it has to protect, this idea of who Connie is, this idea of who Jacqueline is, that it's got to protect. And it's this authority that it feels is assailed by everyone and you're fighting all these other people to define yourself, right? I mean, that's from the ego's perspective. It always seems to be fighting for authority, asserting its authority, right? Because it's a matter of its existence. And I'm a little reluctant to talk about ego in terms of, because it sounds like a separate entity, right? But it's not. It's these thoughts, these confused thoughts that we have about who we are. But it's this on which we attempt to build our authority. And this is saying the only true authority is the Holy Spirit within you. The truth of who you are is the only true authority. That's the final authority. You can play these games all day long for millennia, but the only truth of you is the truth of you. And that's what Holy Spirit would have you know.
The Course calls that the authority problem, don't they?
Yeah, it does. Yes, it absolutely does.
And you can certainly get it. I had a conversation, a heightened conversation this weekend with my partner, and I was saying, you know, we're fine until I have a different opinion than you do.
Sounds like a lot of relationships.
Yeah, we're coasting along fine. As long as I'm in agreement, everything. But it would have to be true, wouldn't it? When I assert a thought system that is separate from anything and everything, that's where the problem's going to be. It has to be.
Yeah, it would have to be in this assertion of a position, right?
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Taking a position is the beginning of the problem.
Right. I think I have the authority to call it like this, and that's the problem. Because I want to make a stance on some BS illusionary thing anyway and take issue with my brother over it.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That's a good point. I'll call Jeannie and tell her you said so. I think you made an excellent point. Yeah.
Thanks. What are we?
We are. I think I just read a couple of sentences and then started talking. We are at the bottom of 235, NTI Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. We're going to start here again at sentence number 6. Last paragraph on that page. The one who knows his own authority knows his self, and he welcomes it. The one who does not know his own authority makes one for himself and is confused by it.
Hello.
And so it is, the words of the Holy Spirit are final. They are the words of true authority and true welcome. When they are recognized, they are welcomed, and all illusory authority must weigh. The authority of the Holy Spirit is a great joy that fills your heart and leads you to do the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is the work of the Holy Spirit, which means it does not come from you or any illusory authority. It comes directly from the authority of Spirit, and it is known in you by its joy and its authority. You know, you might call that guidance, right? I mean, seeing with the Savior's vision, right? I mean, because if you truly put yourself in that open-hearted space where you're open to being used by Holy Spirit, where you're not closed down on your own ideas, right? Where you're not focused on your interest and your ideas, if you're open to that, it's very different than, say, you went into your head and said, well, let me think what's best for everybody in this situation, because that's going to be screwed up, even your best efforts, and you and I were talking about this a while ago, even your best efforts are going to be screwed up because you're still seeing with the eyes of division,
right?
You're still seeing it as if there were separate people with separate interests in a separate world. But if we can open up to the true authority of Holy Spirit, which means basically letting those barriers down, then we can be guided to truly do what's most helpful in the world.
You know, and I guess this might be an appropriate place for this, but I was reading about Einstein, who would sit with something in his hand. Einstein? No, it wasn't Einstein. It was
somebody really smart.
I don't know, I think it was Benjamin Franklin. I don't know who it was. But would sit with like a book or something in his hand and sit for hours, and I guess in somewhat of a meditative state. But he'd sit with a book or something in his hands so that he wouldn't fall off into sleep. And in this state of not knowing anything, he would have he'd have this influx of great innovative ideas that he didn't have to sit and figure out because they were given to him in this state.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we're asked to do in the stillness.
Yes.
Yeah. Is to just be in that space. And what we are and what we, all our concepts, what we think and, you know, the way we write, what our opinions about right and wrong and all of those things are merely blocks to the flow of everything, to the flow of true knowledge, to the flow of love, to the flow of life. And we just, and it's so funny because, you know, we're like, it's like they always say about the fish looking for water, right? But, you know, we're always putting up these barriers and going, hey, where'd the water go? Where'd the flow go? Why don't I, you know, why do I have to work so hard to come up with a good solution? Why, you know, and we're always building these barriers to the flow that you're talking about.
Yeah, and that would have to be the way of the seeming existence. We talk about just putting one foot in front of the other and doing, I mean, you know, asking for guidance, but from that step, doing just being about it without all the convoluted concepts and of I'm right and they're wrong, and but just being, like you're saying, just being open to that expansiveness.
Yeah, and I feel to say here, Connie's talking about, you know, putting one step in front of the other. I was telling her a while ago that, you know, I'm working on getting this house ready to sell, and it's like every time you turn around, whoops, there's another $1,000. I woke up the other night and realized that I, you know, immediately upon awakening, I was thinking about this stuff, and I heard very clearly, in fact, over and over and over, it's kind of annoying there for me. I'm like, okay, I get it. But I heard that my job is to be thankful. So when whatever comes up, my job, when another $1,000 project comes up, my job is to be thankful. And it's in this way.
It allows for that flow.
It allows for that flow.
It's not setting those barriers up.
It's not setting the barriers up. Well, I think it should be this way, and it seems to be going that way. I'm afraid I'm going to run out of money,
how
and it's
cool
going to da, 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 da.
So
and
what,
it's
just what an thankful. Easy lesson. How easy to practice this, right? Is all you got to do is be thankful for, well, it's a loving all method, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, it if I can remember that, right, then then I don't have to run it through my bank calculator filter. I don't have to run it through my, you know, am I still angry at the tenant that was there? That, you know, it doesn't go through all those filters if I have this one thing to do with it, right?
Right.
If all I have to do is be thankful for it and then take the next step on the next day, you know, you get up and you go call the concrete guy or, you know, what you do, but, you know, but I haven't twisted it all and gotten all involved in it and grabbed onto
twisted
it and gotten
some
attached.
Convoluted concept,
yeah.
of
man, have I been done wrong? Did that other person do me wrong?
Right.
Or
are they trustworthy? And all those
just be thankful.
Judgment things. And it's simply being thankful. Thank you, Jacqueline. That's awesome.
That's really cool. Yes. Thank you.
So I didn't hear that before, so that's great to hear.
I'm not sure I did either. Are you burying him in concrete? No. No, I'm just dealing with the driveway issues. He'd be sleeping with the fishes. All right, let's see. Okay.
I have no idea.
I know. Let's read that last paragraph in Acts chapter 12. The Holy Spirit is within you because you have accepted it there. It is waiting in peace for the time in which you will invite it to come forth and be authority through you. It is an authority you will follow and you will be, that you may be led by its word and be within your experience.
Your awareness.
I don't know where that word experience came from. The last word in that paragraph is awareness, not experience. So maybe I'll read that last sentence again. Isn't that funny? It is an authority you will follow and you will be, that you may lead by its word and be within your awareness. Okay?
Ready.
Okay. NTI Acts chapter 12, middle of page 236. The authority of the world is confusion and illusion, which is no authority at all. And yet, because you have made no authority and called it authority, You place yourself within a prison you have made. You are victim to your own invention, forgetting entirely that the invention is yours to choose or to unmake. This is why you have the Holy Spirit, and this is why the Holy Spirit is kept within your mind. The Holy Spirit is the part of you that will not accept illusions as true. The Holy Spirit is the part of you that knows its freedom and will not surrender it. And so, the Holy Spirit is the part of you that remains sane and focused in reality, while the other part of your mind chooses to experience delusion. That must mean that the Holy Spirit is the part of you that is also the road back unto your truth when your fun with illusions has ended.
Fun.
That's right. You've had your fun. Come home. You are not in chains from which you cannot be freed by the will of your own Holy Spirit. But your spirit, loving you as yourself, capital S self, also gives you permission to stay within your dreams until you are ready to get up and walk away from them. Your Holy Spirit waits for you to make the decision of yourself, and then it steps forward to show you that you are free. It leads you beyond the obstacles you thought were real to show you that they were not.
You know, we had that lesson when we were with the Hofmeister's group. Suzanne taught it, that you could get the guidance, but the first thing you had to do is make that step of willingness. So, you know, if you wanted to spend a month at a retreat, you had to do something towards, I mean, you know, somebody calls and says, "Hey, Tom." Somebody calls and says, "Hey, do you want to do a silent retreat for a month in Utah?" And you go, "Man, it's just not going to happen. I got this and I got that. I'm running a business. I got family." But her contention was, and I think was what's being said here, is you make that step in that direction. You start setting it up like that's what you want to happen. Mm-hmm. And then, and I think as what we read tonight in
Course in Miracles.
And the Course in Miracles assignment was then the whole world, heaven itself, leans toward you to in fact see that things start moving in that direction, and it comes about.
Right. Because nothing's forced on you. You have to make the decision, and by taking the affirmative steps that you're talking about, is having made that decision. This is what I want.
Yes. Yeah. I think you said it better than I did.
No, I don't think so. I think I summarized. Okay. When you awaken, this is top of page 237. When you awaken to the truth and remembrance of reality, there shall be great rejoicing within heaven. Not because you were lost, for you never were, but because you have found yourself again. Know that the Holy Spirit is yours and is you, and so it is within you. Let's read that sentence again. Know that the Holy Spirit is yours and is you, and so it is within you. It is your own guide that leads you from the prison you have made to the freedom that you are. Seek no place else except within. Seek within your own heart for that which you want, and ask it to lead you to your place of freedom. Then go with it as it asks, doing as it commands, seeking not for another way to be free. For it is your Holy Spirit, that remembers freedom for you. And so it is your Holy Spirit that will lead you to return to it there. It's funny, because we're so identified with the confused mind, with this dysfunctional way of thinking of ourselves as separate beings in a world of separate beings, that when somebody suggests that we should give up that thought system and, you know, ask Holy Spirit to help us see or whatever, you know, it just seems foisted upon us. I mean, we're just so resistant to it. It's like, yeah, but that's my weekend. What do you mean I got to meditate all weekend? You know? but that just shows you how identified you are with the confused thought system. That's all.
Yeah.
And so this is going, wait, no, you're still confused.
Yeah.
Nothing's being foisted upon you, you know. That part of your mind that remembers what you are is content to wait until you begin to turn in this direction.
Yeah, and the ego wants to call it sacrifice. Okay, I'll sacrifice what I want for all the glory and the divinity of God.
Well, and moreover, you know, ego or the confused mind, even you when you say Holy Spirit, and it's funny to read Holy Spirit in these sentences this way, because, you know, we've got, or me, and I assume I'm probably not the only one, but this idea of Holy Spirit as this separate entity that's going to, you know, come down on angels' wings and help me out a little bit. But it keeps saying, your Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit. And it's saying your Holy Spirit. I mean, if we took the capitals off, maybe we'd get it, right? Your Spirit, which is holy. Da 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 da, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the point that's being made here. It's not something that's separate from you.
Right. Yeah, it is the Spirit that's holy and that you are a part of.
Right. Right. It's the Spirit of wholeness.
Yes.
The truth of who you are. And the truth of who you are has never forgotten the truth of who you are. And this confused thought system is an illusion, right, that we built out of the freedom that we are. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see how even just to read the words, particularly with the capitals, right? It's like your Holy Spirit. Oh, that's the guy that belongs to me, right? No, it's your Spirit that is holy. It is the remembrance of the truth of who you are.
Right, and it is just a thought. It is just a thought system. It sounds like that doesn't sound very holy, but so is the ego. It's just a thought system, and there's only two thought systems, and they don't overlap. So you're with the thought system of the Spirit, which is the truth of you, or with the illusionary thought system, which is the ego and the separateness, and that's where we began this discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
Something on the board.
Says, welcome, Jay.
Oh. Hey, Jay.
Welcome, Jay. And Tana. okay, so we are at the top of page 237. Actually, middle of that page. The world is a frightening place because the world is a place of fear. A place of fear must be frightening, and a place of fear must be a place of defense and attack. But defense and attack are not the answer to fear. Defense and attack are the reaction of fear, born from fear, and extending fear within itself. Fear is never the answer to fear. Fear cast upon fear breeds death, which is the birth of fear. Step away from the cycle of fear. Choose to follow me. I will lead you from your prison to the truth of your freedom and the awareness of your joy. And yeah, again, you know, when we started talking about this and the tiny man idea and, you know, and how this world that we've created, including these bodies and these beliefs and, you know, everything we've peopled the world with or populated the world with is 180 degrees or different than or diametrically opposed to the truth of who we are. And the truth of who we are is love. And what love does is extends love. And what fear does is uses fear to continue to dig itself deeper into this hole, this belief in separation. Defense and attack, it says, are the reactions of fear, born of fear and extending fear within itself. You know, it's these are the tools that we use to continue to maintain these separate selves. Again, coming from the perspective that we are separate and that we have separate interests, we would, this is the natural result, if you will, of believing in this separation, is if there are separate people and my interests are separate from theirs, naturally I'm going to deal in defense, attack, guilt. I mean, these are the natural, quote-unquote natural byproducts of wanting to experience something different than what we are, which is love, perfect peace, freedom. There's nothing to fear. There would be no reason to fear, but we are so so inured in this thought system that these are our tools. It's defense and attack, right? And and we're fear, we think, keeps us safe, and we got to be on guard, and and it's all a part of the one original mistake, right? Original sin, the original thought system, and the one that we participate in every day until we decide not to.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right in that you say that it's coming from it, when you're coming from the whole idea of existence from a state of separateness, then there's things to protect, to fear, to defend, to attack. But if we can stay in that place of expansiveness, in that place of freedom, in that place of allowing, in that place of gratitude, that feels more like the oneness, we're not so caught up in what you were talking about, the kind of the natural outflow of separateness.
Yeah. I mean, and again, to go back to my example with the house, it's like, here I am, this poor beleaguered creature, right, whose house is in disrepair because she tried to be nice to somebody, right, or whatever. And the banker's at the door, and concrete layer, and the handyman, and of course there are all the people that I'm dealing with are actually they're wonderful people. But I'm saying, if you're starting from that position, what am I going to do? How am I going to keep from, filing bankruptcy on this thing? How am I going to pay the mortgage this month? All of these things. If you're seeing, you're going, oh my God, this individual is at risk. How am I going to protect this individual? And then all your energy goes into, oh my God, and I can move this money over here, and I could call this person, and I can, And so you're all involved in the need to protect this entity that you think you are. I'm all involved in the need to protect this entity that I think I am.
Which if you're protecting something, is it has to be fear-based.
Right. It would be fear-based. And so, and as I said a moment ago, the guidance came in. No, when these things come up, you're to be thankful. And of course, ego goes, thankful? Thankful? But you can see how what that is an invitation to step out of that fear-based thought system.
Yeah. Sweet invitation, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to be thankful for all of it. And that is taking you out of that illusionary thought system.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, sweet.
All right. Let's see. Okay. NTI Acts chapter 13, bottom page 237. When you have set aside your fear and your desire for the world, I will call you to follow a path with me. I have said this will seem to be a unique path. I have said that the path will be given to you one step at a time, and I have shown you that the path comes to you through your own willingness to walk the path with me. So when your calling comes and seems to begin to lead you in a direction that is unknown to you, rejoice and celebrate. Know that you are being led into the unknown through your own desire and willingness by your one Holy Spirit. I mean, it would always be rejoice. I mean, really, if you start with rejoicing, that's you're going to end up with rejoicing. I mean, there's never in. All right, what we were saying was, for example, with my example, you're being called out of that thought system. So, you know, you would have to make a conscious effort to step back into that thought system. You know, at some point you go, okay, I'm thankful for everything right up until whatever, this new front door that's got to be put in. I mean, you know, you'd have to draw that line. And I know that this is talking in a larger context, but it's like, once you give your willingness, you will be asked to take the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. And we're not going to tell you when you start. You're going from A to B, but we're not going to tell you what B is, right? So each time that you are confronted with a new development, rejoice. I mean, basically, it's the same guidance that I got the other night. Rejoice. It's all good. We're working on your unfolding. I got you. So just rejoice at the next thing that seems to be in your path, because you have turned in this direction, and I guarantee you, you'll get to the destination, which is, you know, remembrance of your true self. So each time you have a new step to take, each time you have a new scary thing show up, rejoice. You're on the path.
I think you're right, man. And you're right, that this kind of sounds like this is talking about the larger picture, your own in the unique path and that sort of thing. But in practicality, all we can really do is this what would seem like my individual next step.
Yeah, that's all you can do. Thanks, Marge. Okay. We are on 4 through 12, right?
Yep.
Bottom of page 237. The ego is still within the mind as you begin walking with me, because the ancient desire to be your own will has not left you fully.
You think?
As yet.
Thank you.
Expect challenges on the path with me. Expect the desire for a separate and unique will to seek for command and control. Expect self-attack and fear. Be prepared for confusing thoughts in times of doubt. And then, remember what you truly want. For what you truly want must be your guiding light, because you are free. Right? You have to choose it. That's what we're told over and over again. Then remember what you truly want, for what you truly want must be your guiding light, because you are free. Remember your freedom and hold up your light. All shadows must step aside and let you pass, for nothing can be an obstacle to the desire and true will of the Son of God. Yeah, so you really do. I mean, particularly, again, on the micro level here we're talking about. You know, what do I want? Do I want to not go to bankruptcy court? Do I want to not, you know, I don't know, I have to work hard to get the money that I need? And I'm not on the verge of bankruptcy, by the way, but, I mean, right? I mean, it's like, what do I truly want? I want awakening. I want the peace of God. So I show that willingness. I listen to the guidance that I'm given. And then I apply that when, there's another $1,000, right? I don't go bitching about the person who tore it up, or about, you know, how everything's so expensive, or what, right? If I think that I want to be debt free, if I think that I want to not be bothered with having to fix this house, if I think that I want something else, I am not following my true desire. If I remember my true desire, then again, all of that falls away. It's like just the next step. Even if it's the step up the steps to the bankruptcy court, it's just the next step, right?
Yeah, and you can see how anything other than being grateful or rejoicing is going to allow you to fall into the whole conceptual thing. Concepts about how things should be and what kind of person you are and what kind of person they are and what the world seems to provide to you and for men and not for women and concept after concept after concept. And you just get caught up in that muck and mire instead of staying with the Holy Spirit and simply being grateful and rejoicing in everything as it comes to your path. I don't know why I should be happy about this, but the promise is that if I can rejoice with God in everything that's given my way and hold on to nothing, the promise is that I will be enlightened and begin to feel this joy about everything. Truly feel it.
Yeah. So
as opposed to these miserable concepts of separation and lack of freedom.
Yeah, and you know, the way that I'm going to see these things is going to be filtered through the desire that I follow, and that's why I'm being encouraged to remember what it is that I truly want. Because I'm either going to see them as a person who wants to be whatever those things are, debt free, whatever they are,
or I'm which is a concept.
Which is absolutely, yeah. Or I'm going to remember my true desire. And then just see things from a completely different, you know, it's funny how we talk about this so much, when we're sharing here from NTI about there's just really, you know, there's column A and column B, choice A, choice B. I mean, you can either roll around in that muck or the mire. You can remember what your true desire is, listen for guidance and take your best step, your next step, the best way you know how.
Right.
Right. The best
and being
by listening to guidance
and being grateful every step of the way.
Right.
And just staying immersed in the practice. And I know Marge was talking about that when we were together the other night, and is that how things seem to be coming together for her because she's staying immersed in this, in the lessons and the reading and
yeah. And it's an expression of her true desire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, with true will as your guiding light and trust as your torch, you shall be led to people and situations that are helpful.
There you go. Thank you, God.
You may not at first know why you are led there, but as you wait in trust and patience, it shall be made clear.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you don't have your own agenda. You just, this is what's being promised.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've written here in my margin, I see, and I write lots of stuff in my margin, but this caught my eye. And what I wrote here was David's example of a gift. And David Hoffmeister talks about how as he began on this path, he was told that everyone he met had a gift for him. So when he encountered people, he encountered them in that spirit, which is really quite beautiful. Because, you know, if you go, what gift does this person have for me, right? I mean, then you're just, yeah, right?
You feel the joy of it.
You can really feel the joy of that. It's like, you know, it's a joyous call to join with someone as opposed to what do they want from me, right?
Yeah.
How are they going to cheat me out of what's rightfully mine or whatever the ego orientation is.
Yeah.
This would open you up to just really wait, you know, expectantly.
How sweet.
Yeah, it's really sweet. It is. Middle of page 238. The way of God is always made clear in its own time according to the plan of the Holy Spirit. And the way of God is the way of your true desire. So it is the way of peace and of one will. The way of God and the plan of the Holy Spirit is the way of unfolding that must be. Let me read that sentence again. The way of God and the plan of the Holy Spirit is the way of unfolding that must be of God when that will is also the one will of his true desire. Right? And of course, Miracles talks about that all the time. You know, you think you got a separate will. But again, you're confused, right? Your will is God's will. There's only one will. There's only one, you know, only one life, only one extension. Love extends. That's who you are. That's the flow. And you may think you don't want to be in it, but if that's what you think, you're confused.
Yeah, I think we had that revelation some time ago. We said, oh gosh, let's just let everything be about my spiritual unfoldment. And then one day we said, let's let everything be. It's not that we're letting everything be. It is. Everything is about that. It's just an acceptance of that.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Lovely. Okay. Let me read the next paragraph. We'll finish up with that. All men have accepted the will of God, and so all men play their part in its unfolding. There you go, honey. There are no obstacles to the truth, and the truth is that you are free and being led to the remembrance of your freedom. Every brother along your way is given that you may remember your truth. All things work together for God because that is the one true will of all things.
How nice. What a sweet promise. I mean, you know, if you just keep those promises in your awareness, then you would never want anything else.
Amen.
It would, that in itself would say, here's the path, let's be about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was writing.
It's okay.
let's be about it. No, actually, I thought your summary that you gave right before I read that paragraph said exactly what that paragraph said, right? And I do hear what you're saying, but will you say it again one more time before we go?
Well, I'm just saying that this is talking about the promise of what is given to you as you remember and do your participate in the unfoldment, because you really have no choice. But given your willingness, is certainly doesn't hurt. But I'm just saying, if we can, it's kind of like Regina was talking about. If you can hold this out in front, oh my God, look what's being offered here. This divine promise. Why would you step aside from that if you accept this as the divine promise?
Yeah, that is your true desire. So really obvious that would have to be your true desire.
Exactly.
At that point.
Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, guys, we're done. We love you, and we appreciate you being here with us, and we appreciate the opportunity to share with you guys.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Well, thank you, Connie. We love you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. See you next week.